Tonight's going to be a bit of a different night. Usually when we come in here on a Wednesday night and we kind of go into this teaching space, usually we open up a passage and we look at what it looked like in the context, and sometimes it's really fun to open that up and storytell, and I really enjoy it. But tonight I feel like there's a different invitation for tonight as we're talking about this certain type of prayer called intercession. Everyone say intercession. Intercession, yeah, not a word you probably use in your everyday life, but as we talk about intercessory prayer, it's a specific type of prayer where intercession simply means to come on behalf or intervene on behalf of another, okay? So really what intercession is praying for someone else. It's coming directly to God the Father on behalf of someone else and saying, Lord, I bring this person to you. It could be for healing. It could be for salvation. It could be for a multitude of things. And we also know in Scripture that Jesus and the Holy Spirit intercede for you and for me, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now praying for you by name, praying that you'd be strengthened, praying that the Father would keep you in his name. Jesus didn't just die, resurrect, ascend, and be like, my work is done, I'm gonna chill and have a nice vacation. But Jesus actually went up and ascended, and now he is praying for you and for me. But when we think about intercession, if I were to be honest with you guys, intercession is probably one of the most difficult kind of topics for me in my Christian walk. I have grown up as a Christian for pretty much my whole life, and all the different components of prayer that we've talked about thus far, I love. Like talking about how God is our Father and how when we pray, we're not coming to some far-off cosmic deity where we have to twist his arm and say all the right things and pray like the magical incantation in the name of Jesus, and it's like magic. I love coming to God as my Father. That's good news that we have a Heavenly Father who loved us and who created us. That's awesome. And I love coming and talking about how God speaks, which we had a snow day that week, so we didn't actually end up talking about that. I'm just realizing that. But we were going to talk about how God speaks and how he is very present in our lives. And maybe for some of us, like that idea of listening to God's voice can be frustrating, but let me tell you, it's also one of the most beautiful things on earth. To see things in our lives or to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, it brings such life and joy. And last week, what Pastor Andrew talked about, so good, right? Being with God, that like our lives as Christians, we get to walk with him. It's not just when we're in church or singing worship songs. That would get kind of old, to be honest. But what's amazing is that's just one little component of like being able to do everyday life with God. Everyone say, being with God. And so we talked about that last week, and next week we'll talk about talking to God and bringing our gratitude and even our anger and our lament and our frustration, and I'm all about that. But when we talk about this idea of intercession, praying for other people, praying for healing, praying for miraculous things, the question of unanswered prayer really is one of the things that comes to the top of my mind. And I think if you have been following Jesus for any number of years or days or weeks or months, chances are the question of unanswered prayer is one that has really bothered you. Just so we know that we're not alone in this room, if that's ever been a question of why does God answer some prayers, not others, will you raise your hand? If you've ever thought about that concept, yeah. I think that's most of us, if not all of us. And when I think about my growing up as a Christian, I came to youth group in this room in a culture that was very, very focused on intercession. But kind of the way it was emphasized was that intercession was all about being like the loudest, most passionate person on earth, right? So you come and you don't even maybe know what you're praying, but you're like, God, I pray for fire and wind and water and earth and heaven. Like you're just like throwing out things. You're like, you don't even know what it means, but you feel like, yeah, that's what intercession is, right? Like I'm being loud and passionate and I'm going for it. And that's what gets God to respond to me. And I remember like so much of my upbringing, like in like thinking about prayer was that really what God wanted was just my noise. And if I said like the perfect, really good sounding Christian thing, I could get God to do something that he wouldn't do before because he's like, you have to convince me to heal someone. I don't really care. That's kind of how I approached it growing up. And then the university I went to was a Christian school that had a lot of people that exercised prayer in that way. And straight up, sometimes it got so, so weird. Like it got so weird. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that where maybe you're around like a Christian and you're like, I love Jesus too, but you seem a little different, right? Like the way you talk about him, the way you pray, like I'm not trying to judge you, but I'm kind of judging you internally, right? It's like, you are kind of strange. And being around those people, it really kind of tested me on like, what do I believe about intercession? And maybe even more than that, I think about, a lot of you guys know that I have a sister who, when my mom was pregnant with my sister, the doctor told my mom that she should abort the baby for my mom's health and safety and also for my sister's health and safety, because she was going to be born with a lot of specialized needs and wasn't going to have a good quality of life and all those things. And so my mom and my dad and many people around them turned to prayer, turned to intercession. Everyone say intercession. They turned to intercession of, Lord, I pray that you would heal this baby. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that would be off, or like that would make life really painful or difficult, would you bring healing? And as they sought God for that, they didn't see an answer to their prayer. And maybe some of you in this room, the answer that sometimes people give out of insecurity or because they're trying to find a way to explain the things of God in a human way, they looked at my parents straight in the face and said, well, she wasn't healed because you didn't have enough faith. She wasn't healed because there's actually secret sin in your life or in your parents' life or someone in the family, and that is keeping her from receiving healing. And I said this weeks ago, but I want you guys to always think through this lens, that when we think about prayer of any type, listening to God, talking to God, intercession, is when someone comes at us with something like that, we have to ask the question, what does that say about the character of God? And does that line up with the God that I read about in Scripture and the God who I know? Because when I hear that, then what I'm hearing is God is really reluctant to heal, right? Like that God doesn't actually really care about things happening on earth, and he's far off and distant, or he's a straight up rude and mean and like just disgusting. And I think if we don't ask those questions, it can lead us into a lot of confusion. But where I've been challenged personally, even in the last few years, as I've seen intercession maybe practiced in an unhealthy way, right, with people just babbling out big phrases and thinking that God would hear them just because they're passionate and loud noise, what I've had to come back to is that just because I've seen something practiced in a weird way, it doesn't mean that I no longer need to do it. Okay, right? And I think sometimes what we often do is when we watch someone practice something that looks weird, or when we maybe don't like the person who does something, we say, I don't want to do any of that. And friends, let me tell you, I'm not saying that any hurt that you've experienced in the place of prayer isn't real. And I'm not saying that these questions aren't super real. What I am telling you is that Scripture is our authority, not our experience of imperfect people. Are you tracking with me? And so the bottom line is we are called to intercede. I think of this quote that my professor said back in school. We'll throw it up on the screen. This professor, Dr. Mike, said, don't let your disdain for the fake inhibit your pursuit for the genuine. It's a good word, right? I wish I would have come up with it. But like, don't let your disdain for the fake, don't let your distaste and like the you seeing something as gross and disgusting keep you from pursuing the real, genuine truth of that thing. What is astounding to me is that same man who said this quotation was a professor I had who from birth, he was paralyzed in a wheelchair his entire life. And not just that, but he was also born with some mental disabilities, and he was like an absolute genius, but also like socially wasn't able to connect the same way as many people, and also grew up his entire life in a wheelchair. And when he was my professor, he was in his 60s or 70s, but he would reflect on his time at a Christian university when, back in the 60s and 70s, everyone and their mother was like traveling in tents and like preaching and doing revivals and doing like these big healing meetings. And so everyone saw this, and so they thought, well, that means like that's what I'm supposed to do. And so a bunch of people started praying for Mike. They'd pray for him, and they'd pray for him to get healed and all these things. And this was like innocent, well-meaning college students, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, right? And they're fired up, and they knew that God does answer prayer and that God was doing miracles, and he still is today. And so they'd go and pray for Dr. Mike. But when they wouldn't see healing, the same thing would happen of, because they were really insecure or they didn't understand what God was doing, the easy answer is just, well, that's on you. You don't have enough faith. Well, that's on you. Your sin or your parents' sin is keeping you from healing. And so think about the pain that this man had experienced. Decades and decades of people telling him that he was the reason why he wasn't getting healed. It's the same man who says this as we're talking about praying for miracles. think about a 70-year-old man who lived paralyzed his entire life saying, no, we should still pray for miracles. We should still believe God to do amazing, miraculous work. Don't let your disdain for the fake inhibit your pursuit for the genuine. So what am I trying to say here is that we are called to intercede even amidst our questions. Let me just start a few verses. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this. It says, first of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, everyone say intercessions, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people. Everyone say all people. For kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So what is this passage saying here? Paul's talking to Timothy and saying, look, we are called to intercede for all people. One more time, everyone say all people. So we have a responsibility to pray for people around the world, the people next to us, the people in our schools, the people in our families, and our friendships. We're called to pray for government leaders, people who are in high authority. And we could go through so many different examples of who we are called to pray for. I think of Acts 12:5, where it talks about how the church would pray for Peter while he was in prison. And you know what happens a few verses later? An angel comes down and visits Peter in the jail cell and opens up the door, and Peter's like, word, and just like starts walking out like, sweet God, thanks, because people were praying and God did a miracle. We are called to intercede. This is not something optional. If you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, we are called to intercede. We are called to pray for one another. Can you say amen? This is what I want to do. I want to just point out three simple things about intercession, and then it'll lead us into just getting to practice intercession together. So the first thing I want us to see is that intercession reveals God's heart for his people. Intercession reveals God's heart for his people. Something I love about the process of intercession, of praying for other people, is that when we actually do it alongside God, what it does is it shows us, first of all, God's heart for us, and also God's heart for his people. Right? And one of the easiest ways that we can like engage in this is really, really practical, but it's to know and to read and learn scripture. Everyone say scripture. So how many of you guys have ever gotten to a time when like maybe like a desperation conference or retreat, or maybe like on a Wednesday night, you're being told, like, okay, let's pray for this specific thing. And you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. God, I pray for them. And that's like all you got, right? Like, have you guys ever been there of like, I want to pray and I have this desire to pray for my friends or to pray for the lost or all these different things, but what on earth do I say? One of the easiest things that we can do is simply look at the prayers in Scripture. So let me give you an example. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 17. John 17. I love this prayer. This is really fitting for Holy Week even, which is what we're in right now. Palm Sunday was this past Sunday, and tomorrow is when we remember Jesus taking Passover with his disciples and instituting the Lord's Supper, communion. And Friday is Good Friday, when we remember and reflect and even mourn the fact that Jesus did indeed die and stay in a grave for 3 days. And obviously Easter is when we celebrate, but this prayer right here in John 17 is what Jesus prays over his disciples and all who would come to be a disciple of Jesus through their testimony, which is you and I. And these are some of the things that Jesus prays, starting out in John 17:2. It says, since you have given him authority over all flesh. This is Jesus talking about how God the Father has given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So how can we turn this into a prayer? Is we start praying that for those whom God has chosen and is pursuing, that they would be able to receive salvation and know God, which is eternal life. Let's keep going. Look at verse 11. This is what Jesus prays. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one. I love that. Holy Father, keep them in your name. Friends, what Jesus is praying for you and I right now is I believe he's praying that for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, he is praying to the Father, the Holy Spirit, give us the strength to be able to endure, to continue to follow Jesus, to keep his name. Look at verse 17. This is what Jesus prays. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Everyone say sanctify. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So what does Jesus pray over us? That we can pray over our brothers and sisters in Christ, that the Lord would sanctify us and make us more like Jesus and bring healing and wholeness and peace to us. And there's so many examples in Scripture where if you open up this book, you will see what God cares about. You ever read like Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, any of those books? Most of you guys are like, no, never, right? Like, there's some weird stuff in it, right? Like, don't boil a baby goat in its mother's milk. You're like, why on earth is this in here? But if you look at a lot of this Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, what this book shows us is what God cares about. And so when you even look at the Ten Commandments, you know what it shows us about God when he says, you shall not murder? It shows that he cares about human life. He's saying, hey, the reason why I will punish someone who murders is because I care about human life because it's a gift I have given. The reason why he says, you shall not commit adultery is not because that God is like just a have no fun type guy and he's just a really grumpy old man. It's because he wants us to experience the gift of sex within marriage. Some of you guys were like, wait, I thought we were talking about intercession and prayer. What, sex, yeah, here we go. Like God has given us the gift of sex and it's something he cares about. But when we experience it outside of marriage, then it no longer is a gift for a husband and wife becoming one and being unified. It becomes something that actually brings brokenness and hurt and pain in the long run for people. What Scripture shows us is what God cares about. So can I encourage you, next time you pick up the Bible, you can read it and say, what does this show me about the character of God? And then pray that people would know that. Are you with me? It's really, really simple and practical. Second thing is this. I'll fly through this one quickly. Number two is that intercession leads us to action. Everyone say action. Everyone say action. There we go. Intercession leads us to action. Look at Matthew 5:44. Go ahead and put it up there, T-Roy. It says, but I say to you, love your enemies and what? And what? And pray for those who persecute you. Keep that up there, Troy. I love this passage. As Jesus is kind of turning the tables in Matthew 5:6-7, the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, you've heard it was said, don't commit murder. I tell you, don't be angry with a brother or sister. You're committing the same sin in your heart. And everyone's like, oh, dang, that's kind of tough. And as Jesus is raising the standard, what Jesus says here is so, so profound and wise. You know why? As Jesus is saying, like, love your enemies. I think a lot of us can read that word, love your enemies, and it's like, okay, I'll just try not to be a jerk to them. That's all it is. And then he takes it one step further, and he says, and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. And what I love is that Jesus knows that when we actually intercede for people, when we actually intercede like for people knowing God's heart toward them, you know what happens? Is our hearts start to change. Is that the hatred or the bitterness that we once held towards someone, it can't stay there anymore because we start learning God's heart towards them. That the person who I judge in youth group for showing up and is a fake in this room because you know what they're actually like at school, right? You guys ever judge someone for that, right? Or like the person, like you look at it in school who is an unbeliever and they're living crazy and doing their thing and like you judge them in your mind and you think less of them. Like, what's awesome is that when we actually begin to pray for those who we don't like, to pray for those who we have bitterness towards, God is really faithful to change our hearts. And what happens when God changes our hearts is it's not just a nice thing that stays inside of us, is that actually like when God changes our hearts, it automatically will express itself in a challenge to go and actually do something about it. That when he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you, you keep reading that verse and he says, and do good to those who hate you. AKA, like when we're interceding and truly understanding God's heart, we don't stay the same. Not internally and not externally. And so if you're someone in this room and you'd say like, Christianity is pretty boring. Like just reading the Bible and praying and kind of being like trying to be like the best monk, like my best monk self I can while in school. Like that's kind of boring. If I imagine that if a lot of us were to actually do this, we'd find Christianity is like kind of terrifying and nerve-wracking and really challenging, but also really, really beautiful if we were to put these things into practice. And so once again, because we see that Scripture shows us what God cares about, then it leads us into action to do as Jesus did. Are you with me? Last thing is this, is simply that intercession is powerful. Everyone say powerful. Intercession is powerful. Holly and Vic and whoever's coming up, you can come up. I think when we talk about intercession and praying for people, like I said, the question of unanswered prayer is one of the most difficult things for us to kind of filter through. And like in kind of like the great big like cosmic questions, like the keep you up at night type questions, I think one of the most difficult things for me in my journey of following Jesus has been trying to figure out this weird balance of believing in a God who is sovereign and all-powerful, and he knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows all things, and he's in control of all things, and all things hold together in him. Trying to hold the balance of that, and also the fact that, like, God hears prayers, and that God actually moves, and that God responds, he answers our prayers. And if you're like maybe like a deep thinker, or you've spent time like thinking about some of these questions, like you know that it's a difficult thing to think about, that God is in all, like he's all in control and he's sovereign. He knows past, present, future. But like, okay, so if I didn't pray something, then would that thing still happen? Like these are like questions that like will just drive you crazy. And it's something that like as I've learned more and more about the sovereignty and power of God, but also I felt the invitation to continue to pray as Jesus has told us to do, it's been a challenging thing. And I think if we're to be honest with ourselves, the reason why it's really, really challenging is because questions like this make us very, very aware that we are not in control. Everyone pay attention, listen. Joe, you can go ahead and turn the lights down a little bit. I think questions like this make us so aware that we are not God. And I can tell you that for me and most likely all of us in this room, that really, really like frustrates us. That really frustrates us. Because I would love to be able to at least have like a nice, solid answer for why God answers some prayers and doesn't answer others. Because I can tell you that intercession is powerful. Hear me. Like when we pray for other people, God does miraculous, literally miraculous things. Like, I've seen it in a church in the Philippines when I was 17 years old over on the mission field. And I saw God like heal broken legs. I saw God heal people who had ears that couldn't hear. At a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, my freshman year of college, and we're taking time to pray over people who specifically had like hearing loss. They're either deaf or severely compromised in one ear. And the lady right in front of me raised her hand. She had almost no hearing in her right ear, and so everyone's praying. So I put my hand on her shoulder, a few other people, and we start praying. I'm like, okay, God, I believe that you can heal, and you're powerful, and I believe in you. So, God, I pray that you'd heal. I don't even know this lady's name's ear. And so we pray for a few minutes, and the guy kind of leading the night, he says, hey, we'd love to celebrate. If you received healing, like if you can like feel a noticeable difference, would you raise your hand? And this woman raises her hand. I'm sitting there like, what? Like, I was fully expecting it wasn't going to work. like I wanted to have faith, right? But I also didn't. I wanted to have faith, but I knew that actually inside I was like, I don't know if this is actually going to work. And then I'm going to feel really like awkward. Like she leaves service and I'm like, better luck next time. I don't know. Like, what do you do with that? But I saw like this woman was healed. This is like super, super like small. But I remember I was about to play drums for like an hour and a half worship and prayer thing. And I had like a huge migraine. Like I felt like I was going to pass out, puke. Some of you guys, you get migraines like that. And so I remember being like, God, drumming ain't going to be the move with this migraine. And so I sat down on the kid and I said, Lord, I pray that you'd bring healing to my head and that this headache would go away. And we started the worship set and I'm playing and like 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh, wait, my my head isn't ringing. Like, hold on. Kind of shake my head a little bit. It's like, oh God, you, thank you. That's awesome. I've seen healing. I've seen God do beautiful work. And there's also many times I haven't seen it. And friends, it's such a difficult thing. I think back to Genesis chapter 3 when the serpent is tempting Adam and Eve. And you know one of the central things the serpent is challenging Adam and Eve in? He says, you will become like God if you eat from the tree. What was on the table that was a real temptation for Adam and Eve and is still a real temptation for you and me tonight is this. We want to become like God. We would love to become like God, to have the power of control, right? Like, think about the excitement you feel when you think about, like, if I had unlimited money and a whole week of spring break and my parents couldn't tell me no. If I had, like, all the control and power in the world, life would be awesome, right? Or, like you get your license for the first time, you hop in the car and you're like, I have full control over my life for the first time. You're not probably paying for your bills yet, but it's a good feeling at least, right? It's like, oh my gosh, like so much power. We love to feel in control. And if we're to be honest with ourselves, maybe there's nothing more on earth that makes us feel less in control than tragedy and unanswered prayer. And friends, this is my invitation for us tonight. Is I feel like for many people in this room, you have been wounded. Like, you have been frustrated. You are maybe currently angry towards God. And you need to know, first of all, that that's okay and God can handle it. He's not insecure. Like, if you say a word of, like, frustration against him, he's like, how dare you? Like, open up the Psalms. Like, those people are, like, psychos. Like, they say some things about, like, other people that they hate or even about God that's, like, dang, that's pretty strong. But I feel like what we need to be reminded of tonight is simply that, like, what is faith? Because I fully believe that God still answers prayers, that the Holy Spirit is alive and active today, and that Jesus has told us to go and to pray for the sick and see them healed, and to go and to preach the gospel and see hearts transformed. I've seen people who are stuck in addiction and by the power of the Holy Spirit through intercession, an addiction that they could not shake by themselves was broken. God does this still. And this isn't to heap shame, because I'm just as guilty of this, as I think sometimes we don't see those things because we're too afraid to ask God for it. We're too afraid to ask God for it. And I think he is willing and able, he's definitely willing and able to heal. But he wants to involve us in that. Are you with me? I had a professor in college, and she said this statement that has really stuck with me. It's in my super deep quotes note. That's literally what it's called. I made it like 5 years ago. Don't judge me. But it's like, there's like 9 quotes on there. There are just things where it's like, when I'm struggling or when I'm forgetful, I go back to those things and they kind of anchor me. The saying that my professor said is that faith is letting go of the right to know why. Faith is letting go of the right to know why. Let me tell you what this isn't saying. Is that this isn't saying that faith equals never doubting or never having questions. Think about the man whose daughter is dying, and Jesus is literally before him on the way to go heal his daughter. He says, do you believe that I can do this? And he says, Lord, I do believe. Would you help me with my unbelief? Faith isn't having 100% confidence and 0% doubt. No. Faith is simply saying, I believe Jesus is who he says he is. And whether I see what I hope to see or not, because I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he has done what he has done by dying on the cross, raising back to life, that I'm going to trust him to be God because I know that I'm not. And friends, I wonder what would happen in this room if you, if me, I'm very much so included with you in this. This is a journey for me of actually holding on to faith and like not letting the right to know why, this desire to know why, to keep me from doing what Jesus called me to do, which is to pray for the lost to be found and to pray for the sick to be healed and to pray for those who are in dark places mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to be brought into light. When I believe that God is who he says he is, I say, Lord, I trust you to be God. And I'm not going to know the answer to these questions. And faith is saying, I'm okay with that. I don't need to. So this is what I want us to do is, I want us just to come up front together and get on our knees. I want us to be up close and up front. Come on up, come on up, come on up. There's space right here. Come on. I love even the time that we're at right now in Holy Week. Maybe it's something like you haven't really thought about much. But in a lot of church traditions, this week is it's called Holy Week because it's really set apart. It's sacred. It's beautiful. And I think about in the days coming where we remember Jesus taking communion with his disciples, giving his body as a symbol of the brokenness he would endure so we can be made whole, and his blood in the cup, where his blood was shed to make a new covenant with us. And friends, this is what I know and this is what I hold on to. Is I believe from research and study and looking at the validity of the Bible, yes, but also from what I have experienced in my life about who Jesus is and what he has done in my life and who he has revealed himself to be, I believe that Jesus really died and rose again. That he really is who he says he is. And because I believe that, you know what that shows me to be true about the character of God? That our God is a God who seeks. Our God is a God who seeks. God seeks. That our God is not far away and distant. And that the reason why we intercede and we pray is because we know as followers of Jesus, beyond a shadow of doubt, that God cares about the world he has made. And when we have questions about answered prayers and unanswered prayers and all those different mysteries, which are totally real and valid questions, what we come back to is the certainty, the assurance that our God moves still. That our God loves you and I enough to die for you. To take your sins upon himself so that you can come directly before the Father. With your pain, with your frustration, with your anxiety, with your intercession, with everything. And so I think first, before we even start praying and interceding, where we need to start is a reminder of what is true. Is that our God is a God who is involved. A God who moves, a God who speaks, a God who cares. So we're going to sing this old hymn, Nothing But the Blood, and as we sing this, I think that's the first movement in intercession. And before we can really engage in intercession is remembering who our God is and what he has done for us. Because that is the only reason why we can come before the Father, because Jesus has made a way. And it's also how we know that God cares for the people that we're going to pray for. So let's go ahead and just for 30 seconds, I want you to close your eyes. And even as you're on your knees. This is a posture of submission and surrender, of lowliness and humility. Where I want you just to ask God to remind you of what Jesus has done for you. You can even ask the Holy Spirit to give you faith to believe in the truth of what Jesus has done for you. So let's do that for 30 seconds, and then we're going to sing this hymn together.